Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Leilui Nishmasa and Lezecher Nishmasa, Miriam Frun. Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, her neshama should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning, and she should really beseech the Kisei HaKavod for Rachamim and Yeshua and Geula for Knesset Yisrael. We Admasai Ata Takum Terachim Tzion Ki Esechanina Kiva Moed. Hashem, you should get up and you should comfort Zion. The time to have mercy upon her has arrived. Ki ratzu avadecha es avaneha v'esafar yechoninu, because her servants desire her dust and they long for her stones. Halavai, we should be zochet see the ultimate redemption. We are on the bottom of page 213. I know I didn't post the sefer tonight, but I really want to talk about some other ideas related to at the end of the chapter. We're ending a chapter actually this evening. The chapter we are ending is called Loving Hashem. Okay, I'm just going to recap and then I'm going to share some ideas with you relevant to what we are discussing. So what we are talking about is recognizing that everything is from Hashem. Last week I spoke about my bracelet, which by the way, I did not find. Some of you, you know, sent me messages. I keep thinking it'll turn up. It has not yet turned up. So it's not meant to be. And we ended with the story in Living Amuna. Malkia quoted the sefer that you gave me, Rabbi David Ashir, Living with Amuna, about the son who thinks he makes it on his own when really his father is behind everything he does. And that's how we have to look at our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't do anything on my own and I don't own anything. Everything belongs to Hashem. And without Hashem, a person is nothing. Efes. Certainly. So I'm on the bottom of page 213. Oh, we also spoke about something very important last time. All those wondrous stories about divine providence, we have to be very careful with them, because just because something works out neatly and perfectly and all the pegs fit into the right circles, what happens when we don't see that clear resolution? We discussed this last time. So does that mean Hashem is not there? Chas v'sham. So we have to be very careful with miraculous stories of divine salvation, because when things don't fit so clearly into the picture, we have to know that's also Hashem. It's not just Hashem and it works out perfectly to our eyes. It's Hashem and we don't understand it also. Certainly, if one is far from Amunah, these stories can serve as a first stage to get him to appreciate the concept of divine providence. But to stop there and build one's perspective on life based on such stories does a disservice to Hashem and his uninterrupted guidance of the world. The proper way to live is that just as you feel Hashem's guidance when special, miraculous events occur, and obviously we do, so too you have to feel his guidance each day and each hour, whether a miraculous event occurs or whether your tefillos don't seem to be answered. You have to feel Hashem's guidance each day and each hour, no matter what. I want to quote from today was Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Many beautiful videos going around. In general, there's videos going around all over. I haven't been watching so many of them for lack of time, but I did take some time today to watch quite a number of videos that people sent me, and it's obviously a very moving day as we move farther and farther away from the Holocaust, and we still have enemies who want to destroy us. We give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the schus of Eretz Yisrael and for the schus of Medina Yisrael. In fact, I remember meeting Sarah Herzberg on the Kotel steps where you descend from the Rova. Sarah, if you remember, we met. You were there for your mother, La Shom's Yurtzai, and I was there. I don't remember why. It was the fall. And we have such a schus that our ancestors of 2,000 years did not have. And that's just to be able to walk in the streets of Eretz Yisrael, to be able to breathe in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to bury at Me'evesim Shana, our Niftarim, on Eretz HaKodesh. It's something that Jews for so many millennia only dreamed of. And Baruch Hashem, it's not the ultimate Geula, but it's a tremendous bracha. Rav Soloveitchik in 1956, they have a very famous speech, 1956, so it was shortly after the establishment of the State of Israel. It was called, in Hebrew, Kol Dodi Dofek, which is a paraphrase from Shir HaShirim, Kol Dodi Dofek, the voice of my beloved knocks, Pischili, the voice of God says, open up for me. Oh, Sarah remembers it well. Yeah, I remember also, we met there, and Baruch Hashem, we have this chus that our grandparents, certainly, and some of you, your parents did not have, could only dream of. I don't know a world without a Medina, a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. And It's unbelievable. So 1956, shortly after the establishment of the state, Soloveitchik gave a masterful speech called Kol Dodi Dofek. Oh, I was quoting the pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Pischili ra'ayasi, tamasi, yonasi. Open up for me, God says, my beloved, my pure one, my dove. Hashem knocks and he says, open up the door. In English, it has been translated into fate and destiny, from the Holocaust to the state of Israel. Just as a side point, if you have not learned through this, it's really kedai, you really, really should. I'm just going to quote a small excerpt from this. And yesterday was Yom HaZikaron, the day when we remember the fallen soldiers. And today it was Yom HaAtzmut, the day when we celebrate independence. And it's such a mixture of emotions. You know, you watch any videos about any of the soldiers who fell, and you read their stories, and you feel their pain, and you feel heart-wrenching pain. And then today we say thank you to Hashem for the gift of Jewish Medina on our old ancient home and of Eretz Yisrael. So what we're talking about in our Sefer is the ability to recognize the necessity, not ability, the necessity to recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us always, not only when everything works out perfectly and, you know, you can dot all the I's and cross all the T's, I hope I said the expression properly, but also when it doesn't make so much sense. That's how this chapter on loving Hashem ends. Judaism, says Rav Soloveitchik, again, this was 1956, with its realistic approach to man and his place in the world, understood that evil cannot be blurred or camouflaged. Any attempt to downplay the extent of the contradiction and fragmentation to be found in reality. Rav Soloveitchik says, in reality of living as a human being, the reality of living as an Eved Hashem, the reality of living as a servant of God, is that there is a contradiction and fragmentation that is found in our reality. And what is that contradiction? That sometimes life is so good, Baruch Hashem, and sometimes life is so painful, Chas V'Shalom. We're going through a COVID pandemic. Every day you read on the news, every single day, Rachman Slan, Ad Masai Hashem, it's enough. That's how Eicha ends. If you have rejected us, it is enough. If you have become angry at us, Hashem, it's enough. And we're reading of Gedolei Torah, and we're reading of Torah Yidden, and we're reading of fine, upstanding Jews, Rachmana Litzan, who are losing their lives to COVID. So we understand, says Rav Soloveitchik, that there is evil in this world, and we cannot blur or camouflage the extent of that evil. Max Steinberg was a lone soldier who went to Israel to serve in the IDF. Again, Miriam Peretz, I know I come back to her often, but she just so eloquently expresses the pain and the longing and the amuna and bitachon of the bereaved mother of an IDF soldiers in the plural. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Judaism has a realistic approach to man and his place in the world. And Judaism understands that evil cannot be blurred or camouflaged, and that any attempt to downplay the extent of the contradiction and fragmentation to be found in reality will neither endow man with tranquility nor enable him to grasp the existential mystery. What does that mean? Remember when I was younger, I used to have to read sentences of Soloveitchik 5 times. I think I still don't get them. Baruch Hashem, I've come away since then. But sometimes we need to repeat them and review them. Evil cannot be blurred. Evil that exists cannot be camouflaged. We cannot downplay the extent of the contradiction and fragmentation that is found in our reality. Doing so, says Zarav, if we do downplay and we do camouflage the evil that exists, we will not be endowed with tranquility. It will not lead us to greater degrees of peace. It will not enable us to grasp the existential mystery. We will not be happier if we downplay the evil that exists. Quote, evil is an undeniable fact. By the way, this is just in the very, very beginning of his piece called Dodi Dofek. Right in the beginning, again, I recommend you read the entire thing. But evil is an undeniable fact. And he says there is evil, there is suffering, there are hellish torments in this world. Miriam Peretz in her book describes when they came to tell her, it was Erev Shabbat HaGadol, 2010, 5770, exactly 10 years ago, when her son Eliraz fell. And she said she saw them coming, and she closed all the trisim, she locked all the doors, she refused to let them in. She said her house was clean for Pesach, the table was set with a white tablecloth, it was Erev Shabbat HaGadol, and she said, this is not normal. Is God's computer stuck on the Peretz family? One family does not lose 2 boys fighting on the IDF. Soloveitchik says there is evil, there is suffering, There are hellish torments in this world. People suffer very greatly. And it's something my friend and Zahava Farben speaks about, that we must validate a person's pain. If someone feels that they're suffering, if someone sees the evil, and at that moment they don't see the bracha of Yad Hashem, so we have to validate that. Whoever wishes, says Rav Soloveitchik, to delude himself by diverting his attention from the deep fissure in reality, whoever wishes to delude himself by romanticizing human existence is not but a fool and a fantast. Only a fool can say that people do not suffer in this world. Only a fantast can say, some fantasy from the word fantasy. By the way, I took off my snood and I put on my sheitel for Zoom, and you can't even see me. But I am not wearing a hoodie today because I knew we had Zoom and you're actually going to see me instead of my zip-up boots hoodies. And I took off my snood and I put on a sheitel, but okay. So you could imagine. By romanticizing human existence, man is but a fool and a fantast. It is impossible to overcome the hideousness of evil. Again, remember, this was said in 1956, so it's just 11 years after Churban Europa ended. Not today, when there are so few survivors amongst us. And there were so many who were in such a real way. And the Knesset is always being rebuilt on the pain of those survivors. It is impossible, says Rav Soloveitchik, to overcome the hideousness of evil through philosophical, speculative thought. Therefore, Judaism determines that man, entrapped in the depth of a frozen, fate-laden existence, will seek in vain for the solution to the problem of evil. Yet he will never find it. You know, it's so, so interesting. Someone who is not observant, but grew up very traditional, just reached out to me. It's not from this community. You mamash have no idea who this person is. An adult reached out to me. No real Jewish education. And said to me, I have so many questions, Micha. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's mamash what it said. Why do terrible things happen to good people? This year has been so bad. Is God looking out for me? If he's looking out for me, why didn't he look out for anybody else? Meaning the other people who were passed away. It's unbelievable. You see, the soul searches for answers. I said to my husband after, how difficult it must be to live without meaning, without purpose. If I did not have the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life, and when I say that, I mean you also, if you did not have the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, so what do we live for? If there's no purpose to everything that happens here, if we don't find the suffering ennobling as we suffer, we know that it's from Hashem, like our Sefer says. Just like you feel Hashem's guidance when special miraculous events occur, you must feel his guidance each day and each hour. It doesn't say only when it's wonderful. It is impossible to overcome the hideousness of evil through philosophical speculative thought. Therefore, Judaism determined that man, the man who is entrapped in the depths of a frozen, fate-laden existence, will seek in vain for the solution to the problem of evil. We seek in vain. It means we seek, but we cannot find an answer to why there is evil. Within the framework of speculative thought, he will never find an answer. I stood on Har Herzl last summer. I think there's over 20,000 graves on the mountain. Is that possible? I don't know if that's possible. Huge number. That's not possible. That was not possible. That's incorrect what I just said. There are thousands. And so many young gave their lives. So many were Holocaust survivors. There's a whole section dedicated to Holocaust survivors who fell. They gave them a gun. They knew nothing. They had a number on their arms and no ID card even. And they fell in battle. They don't even know their names. There's a section dedicated to them. And this time of year, I find these days of Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. And we feel a certain sense of achrayus, responsibility, a certain sense of seriousness, a certain sense of living through history. We are zocha to 75 years ago, there was no such thing. But the cost of having a Medina is very, very high. Is there an answer? Certainly, says Rav Salavitch, that was rhetorical. The testimony of the Torah that the cosmos is very good is true. The Torah tells us, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the last verse in chapter 1 of the story of creation, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hine tov me'or. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And Rav Salavitch says, the testimony of the Torah that the cosmos is very good is true. However, so how could I say it's tov me'or? You don't go to a shiva house and say to someone, this was tov me'od. Don't start giving them a whole drasha. I'm called Avid Rechman Latav Avid. It's not the right time. That's even when Chazal is saying Pirkei Avos. Don't offer nechama at the point where the dead is lying in front of him. Maybe in retrospect they see the good. Maybe they'll never see the good in their lifetimes. So how could the Torah say, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od, Elokim saw everything he made and it was very good, but there's terrible suffering in this world. We're living through a time of suffering. I don't know if you saw that the cover of Mishpacha last week was the Novominsky Rebbe, Rav Perlo Zatzal. There are Magide Shir being taken from us, there are Mashkichim. Oh, I just saw today Rav Kolodetsky Shlita, Rav Chaim's son-in-law, Rav Kolodetsky's brother, was nifter today from COVID, a big time chacham in Bnei Brak, he was 70 years old. But we're living through a very difficult time. So what does it mean when the Torah says, and Elohim saw everything he made and it was very good? This affirmation may be made from the infinite perspective of the Creator. It's true, it's very good. You know whose perspective is it's very good from? God's perspective. Finite man, with his partial vision, cannot uncover the absolute good in the cosmos. Finite man, with his partial vision. So in other words, I do not have complete vision, even though I think I have from vision, and Baruch Hashem, I have 180 degrees. What is it called? Peripheral vision. My vision is partial, and I cannot uncover the absolute good in the cosmos. It's hidden from me. The contradiction in existence stands out clearly and cannot be negated. Miriam Peretz says in her book, every time she goes to Har Herzl, she has to choose which grave should she go to first. Should she stand by Eli Raz first? Or should she stand by Uriel first? She says when she stands by Eli Raz, she hears Uriel calling Ima, come to me. When she stands by Uriel, she hears Eli Raz calling Ima, come to me. She says, and every time I cross from one grave to the other, it's my own personal kriya Yam Suf. Nachshon Ben Aminadav had to jump in. An unbelievable leap of faith. Sota Lamed Zayin Aleph. Who can understand such things? Who can give reasons for such things? Who could say evil does not exist? The kidnappers of the three boys are pure vicious. It's pure evil. Evil, says Rav Salavitch, which can neither be explained nor comprehended, does exist. When the Gemara says, "Kol da'avad rachmana latav avid," everything that God does is for the good. Of course it's for the good. From the divine perspective, everything Hashem does is for good. I believe that. I know that. But to invalidate pain, we are living through a very painful time. Our seniors are alone. I know many widows who are alone now for almost 2 weeks, 2 months. What am I saying 2 weeks? 2 months on end. People sitting Shiva, shocking deaths, they're alone. No one can go be Menachem in person. Evil, says Rav Salavitch, cannot be explained and it cannot be comprehended. And it does exist. Only if man could grasp the world as a whole would he be able to gain a perspective on the essential nature of evil. But what is one man? Ma anu, ma chayenu, ma tzidkosenu, ma nomar umanadaber. What am I? What is man? David HaMelech says in Kapitel Tzadi of Tehillim, how long does a man live? 70 years? Maybe 80 years? And most of it is in toil and suffering. My perspective is so limited. So to say in those stories of Hashgacha Pratis, I mean, they're very nice, they're inspiring, but that God is found here, but what does that mean? Is he not found in the difficult times? Does that mean that he's only found when you can cross all the T's and dot all the I's? Only if man could grasp the world as a whole would he be able to gain a perspective on the essential nature of evil. However, as long as man's apprehension is limited and distorted, as long as he perceives only isolated fragments of the cosmic drama, again, I'm going to start that sentence. As long as man's apprehension is limited and distorted, As long as man perceives only isolated fragments of the cosmic drama, that's all we see. We see an isolated fragment of the cosmic drama. Don't we see a little narrow frame in the 21st century? Okay, some of the 20th century also. What is that in the span of history? I see this little isolated fragment in the cosmic drama. And I expect to understand God. I expect of all the answers. I just showed up on the scene. God's been around running this world for four. But he's been running this world, as we know, for top shin pei years, 5,780 years. And I'm going to say it's not right. I don't understand. Where are you? Man perceives only isolated fragments of the cosmic drama and the mighty epic of history. Man remains unable to penetrate into the secret lair of suffering and evil. Now, it's very hard when someone who's not observant reaches out with such deep theological questions and not Bahachas, not Af Atah Kishinav, not the Ben Harasha, someone who really is She'enu Yodei Lishol, but is asking. Who's questioning, who's wondering? The deepest theological questions. Gemara discusses is Maseches Brach Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, show me your ways so I will know you. Hashem said, you can't see my front and live. You could only see my back. But we have to understand. We have to internalize. Ha'amanti ki adaber. Hani Macha says, if you speak about Amunah, ha'amanti ki adaber, speak about it. To reinforce the Amunah in yourself. That just because I don't see how it's good doesn't mean it doesn't serve some good in the greater cosmos. But it's not a contradiction to say, I see evil. I see pain. I see suffering. It doesn't mean it doesn't serve some good purpose in the scheme of history. Out of Churban Europa came Medina Israel. Does that mean that there was no evil during those 6 years of Churban Europa? My grandfather's members are called in 7 camps in 3 years. Who could fathom such a thing? None of us. And yet, out of the ashes of the Churban, came the greatest resurrection of Knesset Yisrael. Unbelievable. It was a Tchias HaMeisim, like a literal Tchias HaMeisim. But does that mean that just because good resulted, it wasn't evil? Do you understand? This is very important to Kuda in our faith. Of Salvechik is saying, you know, sometimes people say it's all for the good, it's all for the good, it's all for the good. Trying to write off the fact that this act is for the good. It doesn't mean it's for the good when a person is suffering. It means they're suffering. It means they're crying. Ki ered al b'ni aval sha'ola, says Yaakov Avinu. You can't come for me. I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. Oh, it served some good purpose that Yosef was taken. Yosef becomes who? Hashalit, who? Hamashbir. It served a great purpose, a geshmak purpose. He brings his family to Goshen. Yehuda sets up a yeshiva. He sustains the family. They don't die of famine. But does it mean that Yaakov was not suffering? Does it mean that people today are not suffering just because it serves some good purpose? It's not a contradiction. They're both true. There is, says Rav Salavitch, a contradiction of fragmentation in our reality. What is that? On the one hand, on the other hand, man suffers. We are unable, says Rav Salavitch, to penetrate into the secret lair, L-A-I-R, of suffering and evil. To what may the matter be compared? To a person gazing at a beautiful rug, R-U-G, a beautiful rug, a tapestry, is a true work of art, one into which an exquisite design has been woven. But the problem is, says the Rav, you're looking at it from the reverse side. It's a stunning work of art. It's worth millions of dollars. Who wove this tapestry? The problem is, you're looking at it from the back. When you look at it from the back, says Rav Salavitch, can such a viewing give rise to a sublime aesthetic experience? You're going to see that the colors don't match, and you're going to see the knots, and you're going to see the bumps, and someone forgot to cut the string off here. And you hear that this is the most beautiful piece of work. When you're looking at it, you're trying to think to yourself, how is this beautiful? I don't see any beauty here. Because the Rav says you're looking at it from the reverse side. We, alas, view the world from the reverse side. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam. And dare I say, the Neshamas and the Olam HaEmes see the proper view. Psachim 58, Psachim Nun, Amr Aleph. Olam Hafuch Ra'isi, Oyvei. I forget the names of the Rav and his son. His son was in a coma. Hashem should forgive me. You should forgive me. I don't remember, but I didn't think of this when I was preparing, or I would have looked it up for you. But the Amr is Psachim Nun, Amr Aleph. So his son fell into a comatose state. I really don't remember. If someone's at home and you have an art school Gemara handy and you look up Psachim 58 and you message me, I could actually quote. I'm not by the dining room, so I can't even go look it up right now. But his son fell into a comatose state. And when he came to, his father asked him, "What did you see?" And he said, "Olam hafuch ra'isi. I saw an upside down world." In the world of truth, the tachtonim, the ones at the bottom, are the elyonim, the upper ones. And the ones who are elyonim down here, who enjoy stature and tranquility and goodness and ease, they're the tachtonim, they're in the bottom up there. Rav Soloveitchik says, we from our perspective, a vantage point of a human being, is looking at the world from the reverse side. And can such a viewing give rise to a sublime aesthetic experience? We, alas, view the world from the reverse. We are, therefore, unable to grasp the all-encompassing framework of being. So what did I tell this person? I said, you're asking very difficult questions. They said, the Bible. I said, Moses asked God this question. I said, the sages in the Talmud grapple with this question. I said, I can't answer it in a two-minute WhatsApp. Not only that, you can't answer it at all. But Baruch Hashem for Amuna. Because we believe and we know. We don't just believe, we know. It serves some divine purpose. But it's not a negation. It's not a steer to say, for me, it's painful. Even though it has a good purpose. And it is only within that framework of all-encompassing vision, which we do not have, says the Rav, that it is possible to discern the divine plan. Only from that framework is it possible to discern the essential nature of divine action. So is there suffering? Is there evil? Yes. Does the question have an answer in our framework? No. Why? Because we see. 70 years, says David HaMelech. 80 years, says King David. How much do we see? Only a very small fraction. I'm going to quote a beautiful vart that Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, my son was listening to a shir by Rabbi Moshe Weinberger Shlita from Eish Kodesh, and he told over the following pshat into the psukim, which I want to share with you, which relates very beautifully to our learning. So I'm going to Parshas Mitzora, okay? Parshas Mitzora, which was one of last week's parshios. Perek Yud Dalid, Chapter 14, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So Tazria Mitzora, the parashios of the Motzi Shemra, the Mitzora, the Gemara says in Arachin, they're called the Mitzora because they were Motzi Shemra, the person who spoke slander, and it's the diagnosis of the Negatzara'as, and in Parashios Mitzora you have the healing of the Negatzara'as. It's all kinds of halachos into Tuma and Tahara, and how the Kohen diagnoses, etc. Perek Yudal, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron Lemor. God spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, Pasuk Lamedal, Kisavo el Eretz Kenaan, when you come to the land of Kenaan, also very relevant for Yom HaAtzma'ut, Bahabdil, this is Hashem talking to Moshe, but Bias HaAretz, Moshe didn't go, but we had a partial redemption in 1948, Kisavo el Eretz Kenaan, Asher Anino Sein Lachem Achuza, when you arrive in the land of Kenaan, that I give you as a possession, V'nasati Negot Tzaras Beveitz Eretz Achuzaschem, I will place a Tzaras affliction upon the house, in the land of your inheritance, in the land of your possession. We know that tzaras could appear on a person's body, on a person's clothing. The Torah discusses what to do with the clothing and the leather. And it could also appear on the walls of a house. But Hashem says, when you come to the land of Canaan, that I am giving to you as a possession, I will put negat tzaras on the house in the land of your possession. Very strange. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Uba Asher Lo HaBayis, and the one, the house who belongs to him, the one who finds a tzaras on the walls of his house, V'higid La Kohen, and he tells the Kohen, Lemor, he tells the Kohen, saying, Kinega Nir Ali BaBayis, like an affliction appear to me on the walls of my house. Why is this important? Because the Kohen is the only one who could diagnose the negatzaras. Even if Rashi says on mispasuk, afilu tamad chacham sheyodei shehu nega vaday, even if he is baki in all the laws of Torah, both Torah dich bichtav and both Torah shabal peh, and he knows all the halachos of tuma and tahara, and he knows if the tzaraz is reddish red and greenish green and deeper than the skin and sunken in, and the hairs are white and the hairs are black and the skin is yellow, and he knows all of the halachos, he cannot say tzaraz because he's not a kohen. He must go to the kohen, and that's exactly what Rashi says. It's perik yudal pasuk lamed hey. Kinega nir ali babayis afilu tamid chacham, even if he is a Torah scholar, sheyodea shuhu nega vadai, he for sure knows, the person who has the tzaras in his house absolutely knows this is definitely tzaras. Lo yifsok davar barur, he cannot give an absolute psak. If you look at Rashi, you'll see the lashon lo yifsok davar barur, like from the word psak. He cannot give an absolute judgment. He cannot declare with clarity this is tzaras. He's not allowed to say to the kohen nega nirali, an affliction appear to me. Rather, he must say ke nega nirali, like an affliction appear to me, because you are not you. Only the coin's allowed to diagnose. It's with his word that Saras is diagnosed. It doesn't matter how certain you are. Until he says, Tamei, that person, that house, that clothing is not Tamei. So the coin commands, they clean out the house, the coin comes to check, etc. So one lesson is, why does he say Kinega? Mirali, we already quoted Rashi. What do we learn from this Rashi? So one very famous pshat is on this Rashi is a lesson in anivus, a lesson in humility. Nega'im tzara'as comes because of gasus haruach, like the Gemara says in Arachin 15a, Tasvav Aleph. One of the causes of tzara'as is haughtiness of spirit. Gasus haruach, haughtiness of spirit. I think I know it all. I think I'm the end all and the be all. I think I'm the best thing since Adam. Gasus haruach, haughtiness of spirit. This causes a person humility. Doesn't matter how great you think you are. The Kohen's greater than you. And you cannot go with absolute certainty and say to him, I absolutely saw an affliction. No, lower yourself. Realize no matter how great you are, there is always someone greater than you. This helps cause a person to become humble with the understanding that I am never absolutely sure. There are leaders, and we turn to our leaders. You have to ask shaylas, even if I think I know the answer. Don't be so sure. Ask your leaders. Okay, one very important lesson. I'm not writing off. Very important lesson. Another thing is just to remember that the Torah said this is diagnosed by the Kohen, and therefore, no matter if you're certain, it has to be carried out according to the procedure laid out in the Torah. But Rabbi Weinberg gave a very beautiful answer. For that, we have to go back to Pasuk Lamed Dalet for a minute. If anybody happened to open up a Chumash, I'm in Vayikra, Perek Yud Dalet, Lamed Dalet through Lamed Hei. Remember that the Pasuk said in Lamed Dalet, when you come to the land of Canaan that I am giving to you for a possession, I will put the plague of Tzaraas in the house of your possession. The one who finds it on his walls goes to the Kohen and he says, like an affliction appear to me. What's going on here? Why, when you get to the Eretz Yisrael and you inhabit these houses, will there be tzaraas, affliction on the walls? So Rashi is very interesting. Rashi quotes Medrash Vayikra Rabba. Rashi says, listen carefully, Bisora hilachem, this is actually good news. What's the good news? Shehanegaim b'imaleim, it's good news that the negat tzaraas, the affliction came upon them. Why? Lefi shehitminu emorim matmonio shel zahav bekiros batehem. The emorim hid treasures of gold in the walls of their houses. Kol arba'im shana shaha Yisrael b'midbar, all the 40 years that Israel was in the desert, the Amorim are one of the nations who lived in the land, and everybody heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim, everybody heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole world was silent by Matan Torah, beautiful Medrash from Parashas Yisro, Medrash Rabbah. So everybody knew that Bnei Yisrael were on the march to Israel. So the Amorim wanted to hide their gold so that the Israelites, they didn't know exactly when they were going to inhabit the land, but we don't want the Israelites to find our gold. So they hid it in the walls of their homes all those 40 years that Israel was in the desert, the Al Yedei HaNega, and then the Israelites come into the land. The Amorim don't have time to take out the gold, and you move in, and all of a sudden God causes Tzaraas to appear on your walls, which causes you to break down the walls of your house, because once a Kohen comes and he says this is Tzaras, you need to break down the walls of the house, take the stones outside the city. And what's going to happen when you break down the walls of your house and take the stones to the outskirts of the city? Says Rashi, Al Yedei Hanaga, through the affliction, no Seitz Habayis, he breaks down the house, Umotzon, and he finds the gold hidden there. I thought this was very interesting, learning this pasuk with Rashi, this parsha with Rashi, right after Pesach. I don't know if anybody saw. Oh no, it wasn't. It wasn't in Mishpacha. And Rabbi Pesach Kron's new Haggadah, which I learned through over Yom Tov. So he tells the story. I don't remember the person's name. Yeshiva man, a fellow, bought a desk on eBay, I think it was, for $150. Somebody was getting rid of their desk. And this man bought the desk and he went to pick up the desk. He took a friend, $150. He pays the owner. He takes the desk home. The desk was too wide to fit into his apartment or his house. So they had, this is in the Robert Pesach Kron guy. It was very famous. If I had it in front of me, I could tell you his name and you could Google it. You'll hear how famous it was. And they had to take off the back wall or the back leg of the desk to fit the desk through the apartment door. Well, lo and behold, when they took off the back of the desk and the side legs, they found in cash $98,000. So if anybody wants proof that Medrash VaYikra quoted by Rashi is insightful and the Torah is for all times, here you have the exact same story that occurred. $98,000 in cash. So according to Allah, he asked Shai, the money is really his. But he did not, he paid for the desk. That means you buy all the contents of the desk. He did not feel comfortable. Oh, thank you so much. Rabbi Noah Muroff, M-U-R-O-F-F. Thank you, Esther. Rabbi Noah Muroff, okay? He found $98,000. And he asked his Rav, who told him, you could keep it. You paid for the desk. It's yours. He didn't feel right doing it. He contacted the woman, and she was so overcome, he went to return the $98,000. She gave him as a reward the price of the desk that he paid. She refunded him the $150. And she gave him a gift of $3,000. And he reached out to Shmuel Kamenetsky. And he said, should he publicize the story? Not because of Gaiva, but because Shmuel said, you should. Why? There's so much negativity in the news about the Jews. Look what Bill de Blasio just texted about yesterday. Everyone's up in arms. He didn't say anything about the thousands that went out to watch the overflying of the airplane saluting our heroes, but when it came to a Hasidic Levaya, the entire Jewish community has sinned. So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky told this Rabbi Noah Muroff, thank you for looking it up, Esther, that you should publicize it. Why? Because there's so much negativity in the press about the Jews. Say something positive. He was on all the shows. He was on USA Today. He was on Good Morning America. The story was published everywhere. This is mamash exactly what Rashi's saying. That the Umos HaOlam hid treasures in their walls. And when you, I know the time, but we also started late because we were working out shiur. So if you have to go, we can catch the end of the shiur on why you tore Bezos Hashem. But I need to finish. I need the full time of a shiur. So I am not stopping yet. I hope you can still continue to learn with us for a few more minutes. So we see that the Amorim hid treasures of gold in their walls when the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, cross the Yarden River under Yoshua, and they move in, and now there's Tzaras, and now you go to the Kohen. The Kohen says, sorry, you have to knock down your wall. And the end, he finds gold. Coming to what Rabbi Moshe Weinberger said, because we can't finish here without me telling you the whole point of what I'm trying to say here. Well, those were also valid Torah points we quoted Rashi in the Medrash and other lessons. But what does Rabbi Moshe Weinberger say? Why do you go to the Kohen and say, Kinega near Ali Babayas? Kinega near Ali Babayas. Like an affliction appeared to me in the house. The first lesson we quoted is Anivus. There's always someone over you. Even if you're a Talmud Chacham, says Rashi, who is absolutely certain it's Tzaras. You can't say it's Tzaras. You have to ask the God Older. You have to ask the leader of your generation. Moshe Weinberger, this was in a shiur recently during this COVID pandemic, gave a different reason. My son watched the shiur and he shared the answer with me. And it's very, very powerful. Listen to this and listen to how beautifully this vart of Moshe Weinberger ties into the piece that we did by Rav Salvechik from Kol Dodi Dofik. When you see the Tzaras on the walls of your home, is that good news or bad news? It's rhetorical. It's bad news. Oh my gosh, how are my children going to get a shidduch? I forgot to buy homeowner's insurance. I can't afford the contractor. Now I have to go to the koei. Now I have to break down the walls. This is such a shanda. What are the neighbors going to say? Did you see that guy over there? He is tarash. Nobody's going to associate with me. I'm so embarrassed. How will my reputation ever recover? It's bad news. So what do you say when you go to the Kohen? Kinega near Ali Babais. A nega is bad. Bad news. Like an affliction appeared to me now. So Rav Moshe Weinberger said, why? Because it appears bad. But what's behind the walls? Gold. So you knock down the walls. You got a contractor. You're so embarrassed. You think it's terrible news. And now you realize that it's really a bracha of Hashem because the Amorim hid gold and now you find the gold and you could afford homeowner's insurance and you could afford a better house and your children will for sure get Shidduchim. Do you understand his pshat? I hope I'm explaining it well. If I'm not explaining well, the reflection is on me. It looks bad from our vantage point. You see a nega. Nega means a plague. Nega means an affliction. But you don't go to the Kohen and you say it's absolutely bad. Kinega, I think it's a bad matzav, meaning, says Hashem, behind the walls, there's a big bracha here. From the vantage point, you cannot see. There is tremendous blessing. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's embarrassing. My grandparents lived through a Gehenim that I can talk about, but I have no inkling. I have no fathoming. I can't even, with one iota of my mental capacity, I cannot imagine what they suffered through. Literally, I have no reasoning, no ability to comprehend such evil. But after that evil, 3 years later, Medina Yisrael was born. And it still comes at a very high cost. And there is still so much suffering. But look at the bracha. We can meet each other. Going down to the Kotel on the steps from the Rova. We can daven by the Kosel. We can take our niftarim and meiv esrim shana for kvur ba'aretz. We can walk where Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov walked. We can go. Me, nothing, nobody can go where Moshe Rabbeinu begged to go. Sota yud dalet aleph. Moshe begged to go in. The Gemara says, why did Moshe want to go in? Lamratzo Moshe lichnas. He wanted to eat the fruits. He wanted to taste the goodness. Moshe wanted to do the mitzvahs of Tfilas Baretz. And the answer was no. And me, nothing, or nobody, I can go there. It was born out of the worst evil. And Yom Ha'atzmaut comes on the heels of Yom HaZikaron, which is a day of terrible pain. And even those who politically may not agree with the state, Achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreif asher saraf Hashem. Can't stand on hard Herzl. You can't read about these Kedoshim. Not feel your heart is torn. But after that, we say, thank you, Hashem. And that's the story of our lives. Every person, Yasar Yisrani Kavala, Mavis Lona Sanani, faces in his lifetime questions, suffering, pain, difficulty. From God's vantage point, it's very, very good. Bereishis 131. From my vantage point, it's kinega near Ali Babayis. It appears to be an affliction. It appears to be kinega, the most painful thing, the Ribono Shel Olam. But from Hashem's vantage point, which I cannot see, there is gold hidden behind the walls of the home. And therefore, said Rav Moshe Weinberger, you don't say nega near Ali. That's an absolute definition of bad. Kinega. To me, it appears like it's bad. But I know that the Ribono Shel Olam has a plan. No one has the answers. You know, someone else just texted me, said, why is Hashem closing our shuls? Why are we being punished like this? No tefillah b'tzibur, no yehei shmei rabba, no kriyas haTorah, no shared simchas, no nicham avim. Why? Does anybody know why? Are we suffering? Yes. Are people going through real difficulties? Yes. Is there real pain? Do we need to validate that? Yes. Kinega. Hashem has some plan. And behind the walls, there's gold. And if you scramble the letters of nega, which are affliction, take a different vantage point, it's oneg, delight. What looks to me like a nega, the Ribono Shel Olam knows it serves some purpose of oneg. It brings Knesset Yisrael some cleansing, some redemption. ultimately, there's gold hidden behind the walls of those. We just have to dive into the Ribbono Shel for the koach to get through, to remain Ovdei Hashem. With this, we finish. Oh, let me read the last sentence of this chapter. With Hashem's help in the following chapter, we will show how from recognizing that all is from Hashem, we can attain conditional love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Should give us the koach and the clarity, the simcha, the menucha, the refuah, and the ultimate Yeshua and Geula, where everything will be seen from the vantage point of Vayar Lukim Es Kol Asher Asa, Vehine Tov. Lord, I thank you all for learning with me, for calling in. I wish you a week of Besuras Tov.